Well, that's a good question. You know, it's probably a sad truth, but at the time of year we claim to celebrate the birth of the Lord, we crowd him out with all the things that go on. Shouldn't do that. Make sure we've got room for the Lord and all the time, but I think God's people ought to put more emphasis on the real reason for the season, amen, don't you? Amen. And not let the other stuff kind of camouflage it and hide it. I appreciate all the hard work that's gone into the extra Christmas music. You that sing specials and do the stuff you do in the choir. How many of you noticed the strange sounds coming out of the organ this morning? Did you? That was good. We appreciate it, Sister Gotch. Bells and whistles, somebody said. I don't know about the whistles, but I heard the bells this morning. It was real good. It was beautiful. And I've joked with ever since God gave us that new organ that I thought it looked more like a spaceship than an organ. I'm afraid it's going to go right through the roof one of these days, but it's if you haven't looked at it close, you might ought to walk up there and look at it. Maybe she can show you some things about it. I sure couldn't. But the lights come on all over the place on it. And she had it really going great this morning for that special, and we appreciate it very much. Well, most of you know I've been a little bit puny. I appreciate Brother Parsons stepping in at the last minute for me Wednesday night. And I'm doing pretty well, but a little bit weak today. And I found out, in fact, it was his daughter that told me, today's Brother Parsons' birthday. She even told me how old he is. How many of you think he's over 21? How many of you think he's less than 70? I'm not going to play with that any longer. But I thought, what can I do to him on his birthday? And I thought, well, I could make him preach tonight. And I think that's what I'm going to do. We know him to get to thinking we're taking it easy on him. We just keep him going. All seriousness, folks, I appreciate Barry Parsons. He don't only carry his weight, he carries the weight for a lot of the rest of us, including me. In fact, I'll be quite honest, if God hadn't given him to us in these last few years, I'm not sure I'd have made it this far, because I've leaned on him pretty heavy. And he's always come true, and he thinks like me, so he has the discernment of the Lord on him. I believe that with all my heart. I believe he's God's man, and we appreciate him very much. And while maybe one or two of his young people at his previous church would like for me to make more fun of him tonight, I'm not going to do that. For one thing, I find out what goes around comes around. That you do reap what you sow. That's Bible, amen. And we appreciate Brother Parsons. We was asking to bring the message tonight. Come on, Brother Barry.
Amen. Take your Bibles, go to Luke chapter 2. Luke chapter 2 tonight. Hopefully something that'll be a help to you. We'll get that later. It'll be all right. Amen. Thank you, brother. Luke chapter 2 tonight. It's good to see so many of our folks that we know, and it's good to see the Posies here tonight, and Justice, it's good to see you, and all of you over there, Miss Beerley, and then Josh is back with us from college, and I think we have an extra Alchus, and amen, it's just good to see everybody. If I missed you, it's still good to have you here tonight, amen, and it is that time of year where people get to go see their people, amen, and it's always good to do that, and here in Luke chapter 2, there's a lot of stuff going on, and I guess that's kind of what happens here. We don't think of it that way, but we just, when we go see our people, we're just following the scripture, amen. They were going back to see their people, and they were kind of a different type of thing, but as I got looking at the scripture and preparing, you know, thinking about the Christmas season, the world climate, folks, you think about, there's nothing new under the sun. I know that. I thank God, the Lord, for the Bible, but as God's people, we, you know, we just... This climate of the world today and the worry and the fear that we have heading into a brand new year, you know, I don't know how people that are not Christians handle the craziness of this world and the up and down roller coaster of the politics and the schemes and all the things that go on, but I'm thankful that I know the Lord Jesus and I can read the back of the book and I know how it's all going to work out. And I see here that, you know, these people were not all that different than us. You know, they were under some heavy oppression. These people, the Jews, were in a bad place. I mean, if you wanted to kind of size it up, there was some real pagan I mean, terrible people. The Romans were not good people, folks. I mean, I know if you read history and you go to a secular college, just let me say this. I know this has nothing to do with everything else I'm going to preach tonight, but this is just good. Amen. Just because people go get an education doesn't make them intelligent. Amen. All right? I'm here to tell you tonight, sometimes it just makes them ignorant of the truth. If they get schooled so far out of being smart or, as I would say, you know, intelligent. I hate the fact that sometimes people are duped by the world and the world takes them so far. But I mean, just what preacher preached on this morning, if you wanted to see, there was no better picture of our political scene in today than the Roman government of that. I mean, if you thought we've got fraud, you should have gone back and studied Rome at this time. I mean, the Roman Senate and all the people that are there, everybody was buying somebody else off, and it was money, fraud, immorality. I mean, just everywhere. Just terrible idolatry beyond belief in that time period. And again, so we get to this place, and we think that this type of thing is unique to us. But Christians have faced this throughout, I mean, time. And sometimes, and if you even want to say it, I mean, if these people had a one world government really at the time, I mean, there was a world power under Rome that, I mean, they, if you weren't a Roman citizen, listen, if you think we've got a bad double standard, there was a double standard in the Roman times. If you were a Roman citizen, I mean, you could just stop anybody you wanted to and say, carry my bag. You could just stop it. You know, if they weren't a Roman citizen, I mean, now, for us, at least we can scream the Constitution, and if we want to carry it far enough, we've got some. I mean, that was the law, friend. There was a double standard. I mean, we're liable to see it. We're liable to see it come back, you know, if you're a Democrat. If you're of one political party, you may be able to order somebody else. I mean, they're already talking about, you know, we need re-educated. That we need to go through some, you know, process of being re-educated. I'm here to tell you, if this time period doesn't set a lot like where we're at, and then on top of that, now they have this taxing that comes into the scripture in Luke chapter 2, and it sends them to their hometown. And again, I'm just going to tell you, I never thought they would ever be able to pass health care like they did, but they brought it in under a tax, amen, and they made it legal too. So I'm here to tell you, there's a lot of things that they can do and try to hit the niches and get through the loopholes and all the different things. But here, I can imagine the talk of the political day as they made their way all the way down to Bethlehem. I can imagine I know that they knew that the birth of Christ was on this wise. Mary and Joseph, I'm sure they were good people and they were looking forward to the Messiah, but I'm sure they were real people. And she was having real pains. Amen. My mom called me today and reminded me of the real pain she went through today, a few years ago. Amen. Amen. And told me, but it was all worth it after she told me all about it again one more time. Amen. And she's probably watching. I love you, Mom. And but I mean, we come to this place in this I mean, terrible time. And it gets, as we read through this scripture and this story, I love how the scripture uses, again, it's always people. God is always using people to get his job done. And we can see, and I think it's been preached on Mary and Joseph, and just, I mean, there were key people in the fullness of time in God's plan that stepped up. But God had another man here in Luke chapter 2, and his name's Simeon. And I want to read just a few verses about him tonight, and just, I'm not going to preach on him necessarily, but one statement that's made around him. And I just want you to know this as well. If you think that Mary and Joseph were this affluent crowd, when you even read about the offering that they brought for the Lord Jesus Christ, if you go back to Leviticus chapter 12 and realize that they're supposed to be bringing a lamb. Now, that you talk about a good message. They brought a lamb that day. Amen. But he wasn't ready to be slain. Amen. And they came to the altar and they gave what poor people give for the cleansing, that purification of Mary. And I mean, it just speaks to how they weren't silver spoon people, folks. Jesus wasn't born into a family of rich people. He came in, and again, we go back to there was no room for them in the end, but that wasn't the only place there wasn't room for them. That wasn't the only place that they had hard times. That wasn't the only place. God doesn't just call people that, you know, God, a lot of people think when they get saved, everything's going to be easy. God's going to give us all the easy street. No, friend. friend. That's not always how it is. We live in this old nasty now, but we have peace, we have comfort, I don't have to have fear because I'm saved. I know where I'm going. But here we get to this place, and now Jesus is coming to the temple. It's been about that 40-day period that they're supposed to wait, and they come to the temple, and the Lord has spoken to Simeon already, trying to bring you up to speed. And when we get to verse 25, it says, "And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon, and the same man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel. And the Holy Ghost was upon him. And it was revealed unto him by the Holy Ghost that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And he came by the Spirit into the temple. And when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him after the custom of the law, then took he him up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace according to thy word. For my eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared before the face of all people." You get that, folks? This prophet of the Lord, this person who's under the Spirit of God, he's not just talking about that. And we just read waiting for the consolation of Israel, but it was the consolation of all people, folks. "A light to lighten the Gentiles and the glory of thy people Israel. And Joseph and his mother marveled at those things which were spoken of him, and Simeon blessed them and said unto Mary his mother, Behold, this child is set for the fall and rising again of many in Israel, and for a sign which shall be spoken against." I want to preach a message tonight on waiting for consolation. Amen. Waiting for consolation. Let's pray, and then we'll dive into it tonight. Dear Lord, I do thank you for your many blessings. God, I thank you again for a brand new birthday. And God, I pray that you'd help me to live my next year to its fullest for you. God, I pray tonight that you would use me as your messenger boy just to preach the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ and to your people an encouraging message that would help them to keep on keeping on for you. I pray, God, that if there's one that does not know Jesus as their Savior inside the building tonight, God, I pray they wouldn't leave lost, but they'd leave with the Spirit of God inside of them because they've accepted Jesus as their Savior, their payment for sin. Well, thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Luke chapter 2, here in the scripture, we see this waiting for consolation. Go back to the verse, if you would, in verse, we'll go to verse 25, and then we'll see, "And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon, and the same man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Ghost was upon him." I believe this word consolation, I wanted to do a study. It kind of stood out to me as I read through the scripture again. As a boy growing up in my home church, in our home school, they made us memorize Luke 2, 1 through 20, and we did that, and that was something our pastor always urged us to read before we opened our presents on Christmas Day. I thank God for an old-fashioned church to grow up in. I thank God. I believe every kid ought to grow up in an old-fashioned church. I believe every young Christian, it don't matter how old you are, if you're a brand new babe in Christ, you ought to be able to find yourself an old-fashioned Bible-believing church. And I would even go farther in our day, a Baptist church for sure. Amen. And grow up in that church and just plant yourself and root yourself in the Word of God. It's important for us all. It's important for everyone. I can go back and I can say, we're talking about the New Year's. I thank God. When I came here, just felt, I thank God that, you know, there's churches that do all kinds of stuff. They have fellowships into the New Year. And I'm not here to knock what everybody does, but I'm thankful that the church I grew up in, when we got close to midnight, we always stopped what we were doing, or the preacher finished preaching, and we'd come to the altar, and we'd fall on our face before God, and we'd pray out the old year and pray in a brand new one. Amen. And I'm thankful to be in a place that still does that. That's old school, folks. That's not something that I don't believe that we invented. I think Christians have been doing that for years and years and years, and we just keep on practicing. And I thank God for it. Here, waiting for the consolation, I believe that, you know, here he's, you know, most of Israel and even the statement itself, the consolation, we use that word more as a consolation prize when we're the loser. But if we were to put ourselves in the understanding that, hey, we are man and we were fallen into sin and we were sure in need, we were, if I could say it, we were in need of redemption. We were in need of buying back. We were not on the winning side at this time. Amen. So consolation was a thing that we needed, so they were waiting. Israel was waiting for the consolation of the Lord. They were waiting for this thing to come. That word, it means comfort. It means a alleviation or of a distress of mind or spirit. that which, look at that, comforts or refreshes the spirit, the cause of comfort. The Lord Jesus was a great comfort to God's people when he came and saved them. Luke 19:10 says, the Son of Man came to seek and to save that which was lost. Can I just tell you today that Jesus came. Now, he wasn't the consolation they thought they were getting. They thought that Jesus was coming as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He thought he was going to come back and clean up everything that was all the government. He was going to set up a kingdom in Israel and rule the planet again. That's what they were looking for. They were waiting for that kind of consolation, and they thought that was what was going to bring them comfort. But friend, I think sometimes in our world, we get so mixed up and so carried out. And even at this Christmas time, if we're not careful, we'll get looking for some king to come and save us from our government, when we ought to be looking for the return of the King of Kings. And the true consolation of his church is the appearing of Jesus Christ and the catching away of the bride of Christ. I think sometimes we get so caught up in the things of this world that we forget that what Jesus came to do is what we ought to be about doing, is seeking and trying to save the lost. You say, well, Brother Parsons, we can't save anybody. No, but we can sure rub off on them. We can sure tell them all about the one that can save. Amen. I believe this waiting for consolation, I really believe Israel was looking for a Messiah, and they didn't think that was him, but there was a man that walked with God. There was a man. They're still, you know, and God always has a man. You know, God's always got a man that's still walking faithful. When you look around, you know, I believe even the scripture says, who can find a faithful man? For us, in our day and age, if the world was walking around, they'd be looking for somebody that's faithful. Somebody that's different. Somebody that's awaiting the consolation of the Lord. I preached it over and over again, but you know, you can get people all the time when you stop and do this. If you stop and do that long enough, somebody will come to see what you're looking for. And the Christian ought to have that type of attitude. The Christian ought to have that kind of conversation and walk with God, that we're waiting and looking for the appearing of our Savior. And if we look up enough, folks, people will want to go. What are you looking for? Let me tell you. You know, in just a few days, really, we're going to get some buttons. We're going to wear buttons. You know, all of it, those buttons are just for people to ask us about Jesus every time we get them. It's just a button there for people to go, what does that mean? Let me tell you. Amen? Hey, folks, I'm here to tell you this Bible, this is all wrapped up. But if we could say, what was the consolation that we saw here? We see the consolation of God's Son is salvation. We found that. We said it. We quoted the verse in Luke 19:10. We see that Jesus was the consolation. He was consolation of salvation. They didn't think that was what he was. They were looking for a king. Let me ask you this tonight before we really get down to all the points and I get really deep into what I want to give to God's people. Have you gotten to that place where you got your eyes off of Jesus and really what the main focus is? This is a great time of year to refocus yourself. Now, there's nothing wrong, and I believe that we've done all that we could, prayed. I know I have prayed all I could to fix the government of this country. I've prayed. We've done some other things. We've even had a campaign that was red, white, and blue, and tried to tell everybody that we could about Jesus and also tie it into a time to get people out to vote. But at the end of the day, the work of the church, I hate tyranny, folks. I hate the fact that there's fraud. I hate to see in the White House, that in places like that, immorality and idolatry. I hate when what I would consider illiterate, unintelligent people get up and try to tell me how the world is going to end before God said it's going to, because somebody drove an SUV. I hate the fact. It's even worse when they tell me that all the cows and the heat off their body and the poop in the field are somehow going to cause a global warming and the world is going to end. That doesn't make any sense to me, and not to any good, intelligent person on planet Earth. Does that make sense? It doesn't make sense to me, just like the preacher preached today, that they would train our children. Do you know that even that idea of those two turtle doves, that was different between a male and a female? And they had only 40 days to figure that out before they had to go to the temple. But it didn't take that long. They had 8 days before they had to circumcise the boy. Hey, folks, it don't take that long to figure it out. Every one of mine, I mean, within a couple seconds, they told me what I had. And they didn't use pronouns that would go both ways. You got to get awful stupid to be confused about what gender you are. I'm just here to tell you. And we need to be able to tell people that plain. The problem with the world is Christians won't be plain with the world. That people won't stand up in their business and say, I'm not doing that. I'm not saying that. Do you know why the last 3 years there's things have changed about saying Merry Christmas? Because some people stood up and said, I'm not doing that. I'm not having that. Don't say that to me. Merry Christmas to you. The only thing that's going to stop this business is if we don't, listen, as God's people, moral people, not immoral people, will stand up and say, that's stupid, that don't make a lick of sense, not just because of the Word of God, but even the animal world knows that. They don't get confused. I'm here to tell you tonight, this consolation of the Lord, what most people really need is exactly what we found in the Scripture. They're in darkness, folks. They can't see the truth, but Jesus has come. The light of the world has come, and they need to hear about him. They just need, most of these people, if they could get saved and they get on the right side of things, they could start really, the spirit of their mind could be changed. They could be renewed by the Word of God and start to understand things. I'm thankful. I don't know where I would be today if I didn't get saved. I don't know what I would think or if I had been indoctrinated. And that's really what they do, folks. When you go to a college, a secular college, they don't teach kids how to serve. Most of those are general studies degrees or a philosophy degree. What does that mean? I don't want to tell you because I'm probably going to offend some folks up in here. I'm here to tell you. I believe with all my heart, as the Scripture said, waiting for the consolation. There's a world out there that they don't all realize it, but they're waiting for consolation. They know, even when they buy a brand new car, there is no consolation. Maybe peace for a day, or what we would call happiness to drive around the block and so everybody else until their neighbor gets the same car they have, and then the joy of that is gone. The happiness of that is gone, and now I've got to get something else to get that fix that I had like I had before, or I've got to go down, and there's people that eat ice cream to feel better. There's people that go down to the store, and they buy more Christmas presents. I'm going to buy my children's love. Boy, I'm here to tell you, there's a world out there that is looking for the light of the Lord Jesus Christ, and we have the truth, and we must share it with them. But I'm here to tell you, there was a whole group of people that were waiting for their Messiah, and a lot of them missed him, folks. The end of that verse said that he was going to be set for the fall and rise again of many. You realize that just as many, I believe this, there's a lot of people that are busting hell wide open today. The fall of many. That same Jesus that was my Savior will be their judge. The same one that was that because he's the resurrection and the life, I'll have resurrection. I will rise again someday because of him. But those same people, without because of what he said, because he's the only way, because he's the only way, they won't have a way because they didn't accept him. That consolation, there's a lot of people in Israel, and they give us a great picture right after this of how they rejected the Son of God. And we live in a world of people who are rejecting Christ and rejecting Christ and rejecting Christ. And they don't realize that they're rejecting comfort, that they're rejecting peace, that they're rejecting joy. And they must see that displayed by the Christian. The Bible uses different terminology, and I don't have time to turn all the scriptures that I want to, but I want to say, number two, we see consolation of God's Son in salvation here, but I want you to turn somewhere else, and I want you to see, number two, I know that in the Scripture there's consolation for the saved, and that's the Holy Spirit of God. John 14. Turn to John 14 with me. John 14. Not only do we find in the Christmas story that they awaited consolation, and that was salvation. But also we see in the scripture that Jesus even spoke to his disciples and told them that he was going to give the saved people consolation. You see, when you get saved, there's a quickening inside of man. There's a quickening of the Spirit of God. And then that Spirit groans because it's in this old flesh, that sinful flesh, and it's not been redeemed yet. Now that Spirit that was dead in trespasses and sin is now made alive unto God, and it can speak to him, and it knows about him, and it desires him. That Spirit inside of man now needs comfort from a Spirit of God that can come in and teach him in all truth and help him be comforted in so many different ways. You know, salvation is so much more than being saved, folks. Salvation is something that salvation doesn't just quiet the Spirit. It takes, and you feel like the backpack of sin has been unloaded off, but now there's a longing and a desire to know God better than yesterday. Now that I know that he's my Father, man, I want to know who he is. I want to walk with him on a daily basis. I want to be groomed for that heavenly parade one day. I want to know him. That Spirit that's inside of me wants those things. The consolation of God is, and for the Christian, if I can say that, for the saved is the Holy Spirit. Look at John chapter 14, and he says in verse 16, let's go back to verse 15, he says, if ye love me, keep my commandments. I believe he's speaking to the saved people here. If you got a red letter Bible, it looks like Jesus is speaking to me. It's all his words, folks, but some of them were his words he spoke, while he lived here on earth. He says, if ye love me, keep my commandments. Verse 16, and I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter. Do you realize that that word consolation means comforter? So he sent one in his Son to come and bring salvation, paid for our sin debt, rose again on the third day, sits on the right hand as an intercessor for you and I today. But when he went away, he sent somebody for us. He says it here in the scripture. And that's the Holy Spirit of God, the Comforter, that he may abide with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but ye know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. What a promise for us, folks. Yet a little while, and the world seeth me no more, but ye see me, because I live, ye shall also live. Shall live also, he says. As a Christian, I thank God. I didn't understand all that when I was a young man and I got saved. I didn't understand what I got when I got saved. But boy, the more I studied the Word of God, and the more there's times now that I thank God. Thank you, God, for what you've given me. I don't know what I would do. Man, I know the difference between when I'm right with him and when I'm wrong with him, when the Holy Spirit and I are in tune and when we are out of tune, folks. This beautiful music that we heard sung tonight and the bells that were ringing this morning and all the things, it's a blessing when those things are all in tune, folks. When they get out of tune, I watch you all smirk. When it gets a little off, I see some of you, I don't know music, but I know that ain't right. Hey, folks, I'm here to tell you, for me, I thank God. This top brand new year, why would you want to go through a brand new year out of tune? Why would you? I believe that every one of us, a good car has got the timing just right. And preacher knows enough about cars. I ain't got time to teach you science. But you know that manual that they send and how you tune a car up, that ain't always right. You can't, there ain't no perfect place on that dial that you can set that thing and that's always right with every one of them. I've learned enough to know that sometimes if you got a good mechanic, he gets the light out to get it close. If you got a bad mechanic, he don't realize you can get it all the way out the other way. Amen. And I know I ain't got time to teach y'all about that. But you know, a good mechanic, even after that, I've watched them sit there and just barely move it. Just to find the right place. And then you know what I found, and preacher would say amen to this, I believe. I've learned, even when you think you got it right, you got to go take it out on the pavement to see. And I mean run it like a scalded dog to see if it's right where it ought to be. Because you can't tell until you put your foot in it. You know, the Christian life isn't much different. You know, faith can't be seen, but my works can. Now, you can believe that you got that thing in time, but when you run her down the road, you can tell for sure. When she puts the work, when she puts the torque on the asphalt and it takes off, brother, you can find out, man, this thing is in, I mean, it is tuned up. It's in tune. Boy, a Christian life, what does a Christian look like when it's in tune with the Lord Jesus Christ? It looks like a car that's, I mean, it don't got no hiccups. I mean, it just, when you put it to the floorboard, it is wide open, screaming for the Lord Jesus Christ. You say, Brother Parsons, I don't really scream. Listen, what does it look like in your Sunday school class? You know what it looks like, the difference between when you're studied up and you're on point and you're helping people and when you didn't study at all and you just walked in and did it in the flesh. You know what it looks like, the difference between getting in tune with God and serving Him and what God can do and what He can do through you when you're tuned into Him than when you just show up and throw it together. You say, Brother Parsons, now you're getting after us. No, I'm just telling you. I know, even for me, I've done it in the flesh before myself. I've served God in the flesh, and I know that the same results don't happen when I do it in the flesh as when I do it in the spirit. When I'm in tune with Him, I watch God do things that I didn't think were possible through this old boy. But because the Spirit of God is there and the Spirit of God is working in somebody else's heart, God can do great things through His people. You know, I've realized that even in the Bible, when God did it, it was unseemingly time. The Bible says the fullness of time, and we can make all kinds of things, but, you know, we could come up, oh, it was because of the roads that Rome built. It was because of the buildings. It was because of this. It was because of that. Folks, God has control of all those things. And we could make it all out that, you know, it was Roman government. God is the one that turned the Caesar or king's heart to say, I'm going to put a tax right now. I'm getting them people down to Bethlehem. Yeah. It wasn't Rome that brought Jesus down. It was God Almighty. You think that, you know, Caesar just decided, you know, I think that star is going to be up there just at the right time. And I'll make this decree and everything will fall into place. No, God was in control of all those things. And when we let God have control of our life, we have no idea that, you know, there's some bus route that's in tune and bringing a kid that Sunday. And then what I've studied and what I've prepared and how I've knit myself with the Holy Spirit of God, and I go in and God uses me to speak the words that touch a heart, and a little kid gets broken and decides to come to Christ. Hey, folks, I was one of those little kids that came in on a bus route as a five-year-old kid, and God got a hold of my heart. I was telling Brother Perkins tonight, boy, I don't have a spiritual heritage that goes from granddaddy on down. Mine went the other way. I came to church. I heard the gospel. Then my daddy got saved. Then my grandfather got saved. And listen, I still got a spiritual heritage. We didn't do it like that. I don't know that there is a right way. God wants to save everybody that's lost. Can I just tell you, there's consolation for the Christian. And here, I'm thankful that God sent. He didn't just stop at salvation, but He gave me. We've often talked about the Holy Spirit, but I think it's selling Him short by saying He's just a down payment. Do you realize He'll never leave us? The reason I don't believe in a mid-trib rapture is because when the Holy Spirit leaves this place, I'm going with Him. Amen. That Spirit of God will not let the Antichrist take over until He takes me home to be with Him. You say, that's old-fashioned, Brother Parsons. Amen and amen. Consolation. Not just for in God's Son is salvation. Consolation for the saved is the Holy Spirit. But what about for the Spirit-filled Christian? What's consolation to the Spirit-filled Christian tonight? That's what we were talking about, being full of the Spirit of God. Being in tune with Him. What is it? What is truly that for the Christian? It's the return of Christ. Turn with me to 1 Thessalonians. I know you've heard it read over and over again. I know that you know that there's a catching away. But for us, I believe that we need to hear it every once in a while. We need to be reminded of it. The Bible even says that we're supposed to comfort one another with these words. In 1 Thessalonians chapter number 4, you know where it's at, I hope. Verse 14, he says, "For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them which also sleep in Jesus will God bring with Him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord. Not just by Paul's word. You know, there's people that get all bent out of shape when he wrote to churches, and I say this by permission and everything else. And I just want you all to know, he confirmed that this came from the Lord. If it wasn't already confirmed because it was in the word of God, if you had any question because you don't believe the book is the Bible, at least this part you could say, I believe God said this because Paul said that. He says, for this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep, for the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel and the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. The comfort that I find in the Lord Jesus, I find because I know even when it gets tough, even when it don't seem like it's going right, even when it looks like the government of the U.S. is going to crash, that tyranny is going to take over, I still don't find hope in a president. I still don't find hope in any kind of laws being passed or tax reduction. I don't find hope in anything other than the Lord Jesus Christ and his return, because that will be heaven for me, folks. I can't have heaven on this earth. I can only serve him the best I can in the nasty now and now, but there's coming a day, because Jesus said so, that he's coming back for his bride, the church, and I'm going to be caught up together with him in the air. I'm not going to prevent all those that have gone before. I got some family in the ground, folks, and the Bible gives me hope, not just for me. Well, what a sad hope that would be if only those of us, that's Thessalonian church, worried. What about the folks that went before us? What about those that have been faithful? Boy, I look around the church, and some of you that return, look and see places that are empty of people that have passed on that were faithful until the end and served in this place. And I mean, we could put markers up on the wall after markers up on the wall, because this place didn't just show up. Some Christians came here, got saved, and built this place with hard work and the Lord working through them with the Spirit of God. And those people, listen, folks, I'm looking forward to going up with them. I'm looking forward to seeing them again. I'm looking forward to not just getting on the other side and shaking somebody's hand. They're going with me. I'm going to see them in the air. When I meet my Jesus face to face, I'm going to see them as well. I have that hope in Jesus Christ. The great consolation of the Christian and the church body is every one of us ought to spend our lives looking up. Today could be the day. Why is there an urgency with the bus route? Because this could be the last Sunday I get to run it. Why is there an urgency with my Sunday school class? Because this is the last time I could teach it. Why is there an urgency with the day school? Because this is the last time I may teach these kids in this class before Jesus comes back. We have gone through centuries of Christians who have lived that way, folks, and it has been a consolation unto them. That's not a scary thing. You know, when you're on the side of falling and not the one of rising again, those that are set for the fall, that's a scary thing. Amen. But there's consolation in Jesus Christ. Amen. There's consolation in receiving his Spirit, and there's consolation. I'll close with this. I just want you to, I'm thankful that I get to serve here. I'm thankful that I got to go to Bible college here. The Soul Winning Marathon is something that I always love to do. I came as a married man to the college, and I never really got to spend time. And some of the guys probably would tell me, you didn't want the experience of living in the dorms. I don't know. But, you know, I mean, I didn't get to live in the dorms, and I didn't get the nightly fellowship of talking about the nuggets of the Word of God. I didn't always get to do those things, but once a year we got to go on a soul winning marathon, and I'd go away with them, and I'd stay in the rooms with them, and I did not, you know, I was a married man, so I would not sleep in the bed with them. I'd take a sleeping bag and sleep in the floor. And, you know, I didn't, that, anyway, you may disagree with that, but I'm just here to tell you, I was safer in the floor, amen? And so I'd go, but, you know, we'd sit up, and not late, but I mean, we'd sit up and talk about the things of God. We'd talk about the Bible, and we'd discuss doctrine, and, you know, we'd try to fix everything that ever happened in the world and try to talk all through it all, and I enjoyed those times. I didn't get that all the way through. These other guys, sometimes I think the guys that live in the dorms take that for granted. And so, you know, being there and having that camaraderie and talking about those things, one night it got to, of all things, the Sermon on the Mount. And we got talking about the Christians being salt in this world. And you know, I mean, there was deep theological discussion about how salt was a preserving element and how it preserved things. And I mean, all the things we've heard taught. I mean, it was deep. I mean, it was getting deep in there, and people were talking about all these things that salt was, and even that, you know, being thrown out and trodden underfoot. And probably one of the guys that we had dismissed and didn't say much, just listening to us, you know, sitting in the room with us, and I won't name him because I don't want you to think I think he's simple. But he was just sitting over there, and he wasn't saying much. And I mean, again, we didn't write, he was not one of the people that you would have checked the box of, this is a deep theological, this is a theologian. He goes, salt makes me thirsty. And I mean, the Holy Spirit just kind of stabbed me in my heart. And I thought, as a salty Christian, the world, as we walk through this life, I mean, there's a lot of things that salt does. But in this life, when God's people walk in and out of places, it ought to make people thirsty for the well that's never going to run dry. It ought to make people, they ought to see our consolation that we have in the Lord and say, man, I want that. I need that. If there ever was a time of the year that it is evident that there's a great, listen, we, generations of people, even false worshipers, worship Christmas. And they know about, and there's a great jumping off point to tell them the true story of the Lord Jesus Christ and what he did for them. I pray that you'll take it. With heads bowed and eyes closed, would you stand to your feet? I'm going to turn it over to preacher. Pastor.
Let's bow our heads just a moment and thanks on some of what we just heard as we give the invitation tonight. Even the last thing there that he was talking about, we could be given an invitation saying, Lord, I want to pray that you'd make me the kind of salt that would make somebody else thirsty to hear about Jesus. This time of year, he's in the news. It's Christmas, the word Christ. Even if the world don't understand it, we do. And it's a good opportunity to let the Holy Spirit of God tell them through us how to have comfort, peace, consolation, as the preacher preached tonight. You know what? You say, well, I'm not going to go door knocking during Christmas time. How about the folks that's going to come see you? How about the family that's coming maybe some distance? Do you know about their soul? Do you know? You know, one day you may get the tidings to come to their funeral. It'll be too late then to worry about. Now you could make a difference. Now you could give them the truth of real Christmas in their heart, knowing Christ. Let me just challenge you as a church tonight to just make this vow before God. God, if you give me an opportunity, family, shopkeeper, whoever it is I'm going to deal with during these days, if you give me the opportunity to speak to them about Christ, that I'll be bold enough to take it. Would you be willing to pray that in your heart tonight? You know, if we really did that, it could make a difference, big difference. Father, may you add your blessing now in Christ's name. Thank you for the message. In Jesus' name, amen. Lead us in something, Brother Bird, and if you feel like coming to the altar and ask God to use you during this Christmas season, it'd be a good time to do it right now. Good time to do it. The door's open. We can step in. The conversation's been started. We can finish it. We can tell. We got an open challenge to tell the world about what Christmas is all about. As we sing tonight, will you come?
I surrender humbly at his feet. I bow, worldly pleasures all forsaken. Take me, Jesus, take me now. I surrender all. I surrender. My blood.
as we sing another verse.
All to Jesus I surrender. Make me Savior, wholly thine. May thy Holy Spirit fill me. May I know thy power divine. I surrender all. I surrender all. All to thee, my blessed Savior, I surrender all.
As we said this morning, as Brother Parsons said so well tonight, we have our consolation in Christ. We have all the comfort, know the victory, know what the end of the book says. You know, if we see the world getting worse than it is, and we see all the bad things happening, and yet we know none of that's going to take anything away from us that we have in Christ. But the world don't know that. They don't have an answer. They don't have a comfort. They don't have that comfort we have. You'd be surprised, folks, how many folks are willing to hear where your comfort comes from, where your peace comes from. The great old-time preacher John Wesley, that's credited with probably the beginning of the Methodist Church, he was a religious man, but he was a lost man. And on a ship, when a storm came up, he found out he had no peace about dying. But there was a group of people on that ship that had consolation in the middle of the storm. A group of German Baptists, not a big group. So when they survived the storm, he went to them. He said, how come you had peace and I didn't have it? And they told him. So he became saved. He understood. He said, as they talked to me about Jesus, he said, I had a strange warming in my heart take place. I had that warming one day. You remember? Christ is the one that gives us the consolation. Thank you, Brother Parsons, for that message. Let you be seated and we'll share with you here.